What I want to thank you for all the loving prayers and kirtans that you've been holding. That very happy to report that the last PET scan came back clean, so no sign of tumors, and that I'm feeling very good, that I have recovery of strength and endurance and feel young. So thank you so much for all that you have done. I thought that I would read from Master's introduction, a prelude, he entitles it, into his chants, his book of chants. And he writes, popular songs are usually inspired through sentiment or passing interest, but a song born out of the depths of true devotion to God and continuously chanted audibly or mentally until response is consciously received from Him in the form of boundless joy is a spiritualized song. So I say that again. Until response is consciously received from Him in the form of boundless joy is a spiritualized song. Such songs, like live matches, produce the fire of God awareness whenever they are struck on the foundation stone of devotion. Ordinary songs are like wet matches that do not produce any spark of divine realization. Each of the cosmic chants in this book have been spiritualized. That is, at various gatherings, each song has been sung aloud and mentally until the chanter has found actual response from God. It is hoped that every reader will sing these chants not as ordinary music to please the ear or emotions, but as a soul-saturated songs to be used for divine communion. Sound or vibration is the most powerful force in the universe. Music is a divine art to be used for not for pleasure, but as a path to God realization. Vibrations resulting from devotional singing lead to attunement with the cosmic vibration, or the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, coming from John 1:1. Singer of all these songs, who want the best results, should chant them alone or with true devotees of God. Fortunately, we have that here. True devotees of God, with ever-increasing devotion and fervor. After the notes are learned, one's undivided attention should be given to repeating them with deeper and deeper devotion, striving fully to understand the meaning of the words in the chant until one is immersed in the bliss of singing. This joyous feeling is the first perception of God. Words that are saturated with sincerity, conviction, faith, and intuition are like highly explosive vibration bombs that have the power to remove the rocks of difficulties and to create the change desired. The five states are chanting aloud, whisper chanting, mental chanting, subconscious chanting, superconscious chanting. Subconscious chanting becomes automatic with the internal consciousness only when the mind effortlessly repeats a chant in the background of one's thoughts and activities. I will say also that in your dream life, that if you have chants coming to you, then you have successfully installed that as in your subconscious mind, and that it comes back around automatically and spontaneously. Superconscious chanting, this is very interesting. Superconscious chanting is that in which internal chanting vibrations are converted into realization and are established in the superconscious, subconscious, and conscious minds, holding the attention unbrokenly on the real cosmic vibration, Om or Amen, not on an imaginary or an outward sound, in the beginning of real superconscious chanting. So here we go into a whole new level where we start out chanting, and if we are really devoted and feeling it, then we start to feel uplifted and purified. We start to feel joy in that chanting. And that joy lifts us up. And that's very good. That's the initial stage. When we get into subconscious chanting, we're chanting and chanting and chanting. Then we're going about the day. We're not particularly thinking about God or anything. We're just focused on what we're doing. Suddenly the chant comes back to us automatically, spontaneously. That's programming it into the subconscious mind. When we touch into the superconscious mind, it no longer has the outward attributes. We may think about the chant, we may be even singing it, but we're lifted up into a rarefied state. And in that state, we feel the pure vibration. Now, all devotional music, all inspired music, has come from that fine etheric form that comes from spiritual vibration. And there are those who are very receptive to those kinds of things. There are many times when I hear the music of the spheres, and it comes in the form of this unheard vibration. And it comes as bliss. It comes as vibration. It has an internal auditory component. Internal in the sense that it's not something that's being made with musical instruments or traveling through the air. It's coming directly into the consciousness from the Supreme Consciousness. And it's beautiful. And it's interesting, and it's uplifting. It's more beautiful than anything we've ever heard in this world. One time, when Mother was at an ashram, she was lifted up into that superconscious state where she heard Ramnam, and it was so exquisite. It's like every note is saturated with the bliss of God. And she heard it, and it was so beautiful and so exquisite. And she went to Papa next time, and she said, "Papa, why don't you teach everyone here to chant like that?" And of course, the human voice really can't duplicate that. No matter how beautiful or how devotional that sound is that comes from a voice, it can never duplicate what we get from that internal music. And the internal music is beguiling. It never ceases to amaze us and transform us and uplift us in various ways. Now, many times you'll hear the Om coming through the back of the head, or if you're right-handed, it'll come into your right ear. So you hear that Om. Now, there are other sounds that you can hear along the spine as well. The first chakra sounds like the deep rumble of a bumblebee, if you've ever been out on a summer day and you hear a large bumblebee going from flower to flower, and it is like that, only it's a much deeper kind of sound, more full sound than that even. And that's the first chakra. You can hear the bell, like a temple bell, going. You can hear the harp. You can hear the ocean roar. And the ocean roar happens at the fifth chakra. And there, it sounds like the large roar of when you stood by an ocean and you hear the waves coming in. And so it's a very big, full sound. The Om sound is actually quite different from that. And the closest approximation that I've had in this world is walking through the woods and hearing a waterfall or rapids at a distance, and you hear that shh coming through the trees. It's not precise, of course, because it's not exactly that, but it comes in as that high-pitched sound. And when you tune into it, you actually tune in and can hear all the variations of tones and music contained within that one sound. And when you allow your consciousness to expand with that, it's like a carrier wave, and it will take your consciousness and expand it out and out and out. And as you do that, you enter into what is called cosmic consciousness. And in that state, you feel yourself expanded, uplifted, and you're attuned to these refined vibrations as they are being received within your sensitive antenna within you. Your heart center is the center of that antenna. That's the receiver within you. If you want to transmit, you get that through the ajna, or the third eye point, the point between the eyebrows. And so if you want to receive vibrations from a person or from God himself, then you can tune into your heart center, and there you can sense those vibrations. They can come as a feeling. They can come as an auditory way, although it's not a sound on the outside, it's an internal sound. It can come as light. And in this realm, all the senses are interchangeable, so that you can hear through the light. You can see through the feeling. Everything is interchangeable here. So you don't have to worry about in which way that does it come to you. Does it come to you as the light of God? As the sound of God? As the feeling of God? One time Mother went to Master and she said, "Master, I hear other devotees. You know, when you're going through these experiences, you're not supposed to talk about them, but sometimes people do." And so Mother had heard from others that they were having experiences of hearing the Om or seeing the light and so on. But she said, "I don't have any of those experiences," as she talked to Master, presenting this problem to her. "I only feel God, but when I feel it, I know that it's right and that it's coming from God." And he said a most beautiful thing. He said, "To see God is good, to hear God is better, to feel God is to be one with him." Isn't that wonderful? And so it's confirmation for Mother that she didn't have to have these different experiences in order to know God. So we all have strong dispositions, and some people are more auditory, some people are more visual, some people are more feeling. So depending on how your brain is structured, you may receive it in that way or in all the ways. Primarily, I feel God the most. But I also see the light within me, and I also continuously, practically, hear the Om. It's always with me. And whether I'm in conversation with someone else, whether I'm talking to you or not, I hear that Om vibration, and I can feel it coming in through the back of my head. I can trace it coming into the brain. And I see there, as I talk to you now, a wonderful radiance going all the way out through the brain and surrounding me. And so all of these things are living realities. They're not just theory. They're something that we can actually experience. And when you chant to God, you're creating a vibration, both in your voice, but also in your mind and in your heart. And that vibration can purify you, and does purify you, when it's surcharged with God consciousness. And you feel that peace, you feel that upliftment, you feel that purity. And then you naturally radiate that out to everybody around you. So it's the most wonderful thing to be able to do, is to chant these chants. Now, Mother first taught me Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. The very first night that I went to service, it was a Wednesday evening. She had her harmonium, and she sang this Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram. I found this tune very haunting when I first heard it. Wasn't even sure whether I liked it, but I couldn't forget it. And so when I left and I started chanting this, and I found myself whenever I was driving someplace, whenever I was doing things, I would be chanting this chant. And it went down very deep, and I started to feel this feeling of bliss as I chanted this. Now, my history is I'm not a very verbal person, so I couldn't chant it for very long without my voice getting tired. But then I went in and I chanted it mentally just because my voice would wear out. And I kept going and I would feel the very same thing. It would take it in deeper and go deeper. So Master talked about, at first we sing it outwardly, then we can sing it as a whisper, and then we can take it into the mind and just sing it there. We can feel that vibration. We can feel that upliftment. And as we do, it really surcharges our whole system. In my younger days, I was a truck driver, and I used to drive up and down the I-5 corridor from San Diego up to Seattle, sometimes Mount Vernon and Bellingham area, and I would chant all the way. And I'm sure that at the time that was quite unusual for truck drivers to be chanting Ram Nam instead of listening to country and western music. But there I was, and I was chanting it, and it was a wonderful, wonderful practice. And sometimes my eyes would start to roll up to my third eye point. Not a very good idea if you're driving an 80,000 pound vehicle down the road. So if I couldn't keep my eyes open, then I would pull over on the side of the road, and I'd just feel this bliss lift me up. And then eventually I'd start coming back down into more what we call ordinary consciousness, and then I could continue driving on at that point. So it's a wonderful practice. Whatever chant that you take, taking it deeper, feeling the devotion in your heart. You know, many people talk about, well, I'm not very disciplined. But you know, when you fall in love with someone, you don't have to discipline yourself to think about that person. You cannot not think about them all through the day. And so when we fall in love with God, we don't have to discipline ourselves to think about Him. We just want to be with Him and be with Him only. And so it's a superior way to go, is to get this bhakti, to get this love, this devotion for God, to feel drawn toward God, to feel drawn toward the light, to feel uplifted in that bliss, and that bliss is superior to anything that we can have in this world. Now, we still live in the world, so we go about doing the functions of this world. But all the time that we're doing the functions of this world, we can keep our mind to God, and we can be thinking and chanting His name. Ramakrishna made a kind of a racy comment one time. He said, you know, thinking about God and working in the world, he said, it's a little bit like the woman who has a lover. And she's married and she has children, but she has a lover. And so she's serving her family all through the day, but she's always thinking about her lover. And the next time that she's going to see him and be with him, he said, be like that with God. You go about doing your business through the day, but in the back of your mind, you're always thinking about your beloved. You're always thinking about God. And you're feeling that bliss, you're feeling that joy, you're feeling that purity. You really try it. You'll like it. It is so fun and so enjoyable that you won't even think or miss anything about this world, if you're having that experience, it'll be the most important thing to you in the world. So getting back to Master's writing here, the superconscious chanting is that in which internal chanting vibrations are converted into realization and are established in the superconscious, subconscious, and conscious minds, holding the attention unbrokenly in the real cosmic vibration of Om or Amen, not on an imaginary or an outward sound, is in the beginning of real superconscious chanting. One of the Ten Commandments in the Bible is, Thou shalt not take the name of thy Lord, thy God, in vain. Whenever one repeats a chant or prayer absent-mindedly, without complete attention on the Lord, one has taken the divine name in vain, that is, without result, without utilizing the omnipresent power of that name, and without receiving God's response. The Lord does not answer such prayers. To repeat a chant with ever-increasing understanding and devotion is taking the name of God not in vain, but effectively. One who sings these spiritualized songs with true devotion will find God communion and ecstatic joy, and through them the healing of the body, mind, and soul. Each one of these chants should be sung not once, but many times, utilizing the cumulative power of repetition until the singer feels great bliss wafting through the radio of his heart. When this joy is felt, it is proof that God has answered the singer and that his devotion has been properly done. So get that. When this joy is felt, it is proof that God has answered the singer. The broadcasting of his ardor in chanting has been true and deep. He who chants these songs with great devotion, in solitude or in a congregation singing, will later discover that the chants are repeating themselves in subconscious background of his mind, bringing an ineffable joy even while he is in the thick of daily battle of activity. Gradually, the subconscious repetition will change into superconscious realization, bringing actual God perception. Gradually, the subconscious repetition will change into superconscious realization, bringing the actual perception of God. One must chant deeper and deeper until the chanting changes into subconscious and then superconscious realization, bringing one into the divine presence. Each devotee should set aside a regular time for singing these songs. Chant first aloud and then whisperingly, then mentally. A group gathered together in the name of God should choose one of these chants and sing it with piano or organ accompaniment, and then more slowly, then in a whisper, without any accompaniment, and finally mentally only. In this way, deep God perception can be attained. Now sometimes you'll see chanting being done, lots of hand clapping, and it becomes a little bit of a raucous affair. And that may have a place. We feel the joy of it. But it's a joy that's on the human level, not on the divine level. And so if we don't take it and become more still with it, more internalized with it, then we will not get that true spiritual joy that will take us into the superconscious. So it's all right to enjoy the chant, to feel the joy of it. That gets us started with it, and it gets us introduced into bhakti. But it's not the end of it. Taking the chant inside, going more deeply with it, until we get that true God response and God perception is really what the purpose of chanting is all about. So remember that as we chant. Each devotee should set aside that regular time. Music is that saturated, music that is saturated with the soul force is the real universal music, understandable by all hearts. I've had many demonstrations of this truth during years of appearing before American audiences. I was giving a series of lectures at Carnegie Hall in New York in 1926, and at that time I suggested to some musical friends the idea of my singing one of these chants, asking the whole audience to join in without previous rehearsal. My friends thought the chants would be alien to American understanding. I protested that music is a universal language of the soul's devotion to God, and that all soulful people, whether familiar or not with Eastern or Western music, would understand the divine yearning of my heart during chanting. One evening, I started to chant, "O God Beautiful," and asked the audience who had never before heard the song to join me in chanting it. For 1 hour and 25 minutes, the thousands of voices of the entire audience chanted, "O God Beautiful," in a divine atmosphere of joyous praise. Even after I left the stage, the audience sat on chanting the song. The next day, many men and women testified to the God perception and the healing of the body, mind, and soul that had taken place during the sacred chanting, and numerous requests came in to repeat the song on other occasions. This experience at Carnegie Hall, the Music Temple of America, and the scene of the triumph of many great singers and musicians was a spontaneous tribute to the universal nature of soul music and to the untutored understanding of Westerners regarding Eastern chants. Since that evening, I have sung these chants thousands of times with Westerner and Eastern audiences and have seen divine benefits showered on devotees who chant with love and the Lord's blessed name. That was written December 4th, 1938, in Los Angeles, California. So isn't it wonderful to have Master's words? And you know that when you hear him sing, that he's not singing in order to please the audience. He's singing with his whole heart, with everything inside of him. He's singing to God, and he would sing until God gave him a response of joy, of upliftment, of entering into samadhi. And then he would say, that song has been spiritualized, because he had taken up into those high realms. And it's like somebody going before you, creating a trail through a wilderness. And they create the trail, they remove the boulders, they find the most efficient way of going from point A to point B. And so all you have to do is follow the trail. Now you still have to follow the trail. You have to make the effort. You have to take step after step. But the way has been cleared. And the more souls that find their God realization in that way, the wider, the more beautifully groomed that trail becomes. And yet, it still requires effort. It requires really everything that we have in order to follow that trail. But how beautiful, how wonderful it is that that trail has been cleared for us. We don't have to bushwhack. And if you've ever bushwhacked through the woods, you know that it's not an easy thing, and you can make a lot of mistakes. You can end up where there's a steep precipice, and then you have to backtrack and go around. You find impassable ways, and you again have to backtrack. You have to go around. Maybe you get lost. Maybe you get into the sharp bushes and you get all cut up and bruised, and you may get dispirited and eventually turn back because it's too difficult. And how wonderful it is when we have a trail to follow, and that it's easy to follow, and the big obstacles have been removed and the most efficient way has been found. And so this is the way that it is when we follow in the pathways of these great masters. And they've spiritualized it, so the words that they say, the things that they teach us, have been dynamically charged with spiritual energy. Now, some dullard can read that, those words of masters, and say, oh, those are nice words, or I don't understand what he's talking about, and get very little from it. So it's not just reading the words, but it's reading the words with sincerity, with real intelligence, and real devotion. And when we do that, we are able to receive in the heart center those spiritually surcharged vibrations that come out from the spiritual master, that it ignites something inside of us. It ignites God consciousness in us. Now, sometimes some people just get a little flame going, and it burns brightly for a little while, but then it goes out because they don't cultivate it. They don't cultivate a practice. And so it's like the seed that lands on shallow soil, and it grows, and it can grow quite quickly for a little while, but then it fades out. And then there are those others who reject it outright and don't want anything to do with it. And that is like when the seed lands on a rock, and it just has nothing to grab onto at all. And the sun comes out and bakes it, and it dies. And then there are those seeds that land on fruitful soil that's been cultivated. And then it gets watered. And then it gets weeded of all those noxious weeds that try to grow up and compete with the plant. And when it's cultivated in this way, then that plant can grow into a mighty tree. And that is the seeds of these words, the words that Master speaks, that any spiritually realized Master speaks, can land in the soil of your mind. And you cultivate it. You water it with your attention and your devotion. You weed it of competing thoughts that try to drown out those spiritually charged thoughts and those doubts that keep you from moving forward. And eventually, that little seed begins to sprout out, and it shoots up some tender little branches, and it has to be protected. But as you protect it, as you water it, as you weed around it, it is allowed to grow. And then it gets stronger, and it grows until it's able to provide flowers that are beautiful, fruit that is delicious, and provides shade for others, and provides a place where the birds of heaven can come and roost. And the birds of heaven are those transcendental thoughts and inspirations that come and roost in your tree of God realization. So that's what we're here for, and that's what we're trying to do. So when you sing, don't worry about whether your voice is beautiful or not. Well, try to be in tune if you can. But don't worry about what your voice sounds like. Feel the beauty inside of you. Feel the joy, and feel that coming out in the vibration as you sing. And you will feel God in that moment. You will feel God in that moment. And then when you go home, if it's lodged in the subconscious mind, it'll just keep coming back around into your mind. You know, sometimes these commercial songs for commercials or some little ditty will get stuck in your mind. And so what I did is I would just put Om Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram to whatever the tune was. And the amazing thing was is that it would break that cycle of that song. It would somehow magically make it so that that song didn't come back over and over and over again. But I thought, even if it did, I've got it linked now with Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram, and so I'll just utilize that, and it'll take me. Sometimes I don't much anymore, but I used to listen to popular music, and popular music usually is one of two things. One is it's either a love song, or it's a You Done Me Wrong song about a broken heart. So if it was a love song, I made it a love song to God, and I would just sing it to God. And if it was a You Done Me Wrong song, that was Maya, and how I got fooled by Maya and thought that that was going to be my true love, and then it turned out not to be. And I got fooled by Maya. I got fooled by this delusion. And so in that way, I could spiritualize the everyday kind of music that I was listening to. But these days, more than anything else, I love listening to the internal music. Everything on the outside seems a bit like competition. And the exception to that is devotional music. And so when we listen to music, whether it's a mundane sort or if it's these divinized chants, we can spiritualize them in any case by putting the meaning of God consciousness and seeking out God first in our minds. So, with that as a means of starting, it doesn't, unfortunately, music doesn't translate very well through Skype. It distorts the sound. And I know that happens when we're playing chanting before songs, and it doesn't come across very well. I hope that we're able to solve that problem one day. So I'm not going to continue enjoying with you in the chanting, but I wanted to spend some time with you. I wanted in particular to thank you for your love, for your devotion, for your support during this time when this body has been working to heal itself, and that I'm feeling very good right now, talking to the oncologist about what might come next in terms of some treatments. But in the moment, I'm cancer-free, and everything is going along swimmingly. So any thoughts, any questions about anything that I've spoken about here this evening?
Because I spend a lot of time driving, and the CBC is usually on, and sometimes I want to chant, but I don't know if it's safe.
Well, we can usually tell whether it is. Like I said, sometimes when I was chanting, my eyes would start rolling up to my third eye point, and driving with your eyes closed probably is not recommended. So I would pull off to the side. You can judge for yourself. There's a lot of activities in life that really don't require that much of our attention. If you're driving through particular kind of traffic that does require a lot of attention, you're changing lanes, something like that, you may not want to be chanting. It depends on how comfortable you feel. But if you're going down a straight stretch of highway, certainly nothing wrong with chanting. How much of your mind is it actually, conscious mind, does it actually take to drive? Not a lot in those cases, maybe 10% of your mind. What's the 90%? 90% of the other part of your mind doing? Why not putting on the chanting? And if you start to feel that you're being lifted up and that it makes it difficult to drive, then concentrate on your heart center and your breathing and bring your attention down to the driving so that you are safe with what you're doing. But if you're feeling comfortable with it where you're at, why not? Why not chant? Why not feel that upliftment? It's a wonderful usage of that time. I commuted for many years from North Seattle down to South Seattle. And I took that time as chanting. It was a wonderful transition time to to be able to is about between a half an hour and 45 minutes. And so it's wonderful to spend that time chanting. And by the time that I got home, I felt completely, you know, cleansed out from the day and all of the things of the day. So whether you're driving or not, it's wonderful to take some time to do some chanting during those transitional times. And it helps to cleanse you out and to make you purified. And then you can just continue that on with what you're doing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So just use your own experience. If you start to feel, for some reason, perhaps it's not a safe time to do it, then listen to that. But otherwise, knock yourself out.
David, I want to ask you, is it more effective to chant internally or using your voice or the...
Whatever really brings out the devotion in you. Because devotion, as I said, when you fall in love, you can't help not thinking of that person. What better way to get absorbed? So if it makes you feel more devotional, if it makes you to sing it out loud, you can feel the vibrations, huh? In your chest and your through your body. And if that helps to uplift you, that's fine. You know, Papa chanted verbally most all the time. But where that took him to is eventually he spontaneously went up into samadhi. And of course, at that point, then chanting stops. So if chanting spontaneously stops because you're in samadhi, that's okay. But you can chant out loud, or you can chant quietly, or you can chant mentally. And sometimes you may find that it's convenient to chant mentally. You may be talking to somebody and they're not very interesting, but you can't exactly get away from them. And so to entertain yourself, you can chant and suddenly you're feeling good again. And it doesn't make any difference what this boring fellow is talking about. And so it can be useful to be doing it in your mind. Many of us are not used to internalizing. And so you can practice with that. You can get chanted out loud until you feel that feeling, that upliftment, that purity, and then just practice taking it inside and not chanting it out loud for a while. See if you can continue on with that same feeling and same upliftment. So I said my nature was to be more quiet than it is to be talkative. So I couldn't chant out loud very long before I felt like my voice was tired. Then I just took it inside and I chanted inside. And that's but what Master says, and Papa also, is that the internal chanting is the most powerful. But if at first it doesn't translate well into mental chanting and you kind of don't get it, go ahead and chant with your voice and then practice making that transition until you start feeling it powerfully, internally as well as outwardly. It's always wonderful when you're in a dream and you're having a dream, maybe in response to something kind of negative happening in the dream, and suddenly you start chanting. That's always a lovely thing. And you know that it's developing into subconscious chanting. Okay. Well, just know I've longed to be with you in this way. It'd be lovely to be there, but short of that, this is a very, very nice way for us to be together. I give you my pranams. I bow to the light within you, the divine life that is awakening itself inside of you, growing and growing stronger every day. Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. Victory to God, victory to the light. And we'll do this again soon. Hari Om. Master's blessings on you.